Well, I didn't preach last week, right? Feels like it's been a while. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. We are starting a new series that's going to get us to the end of the month here. So I'll just jump right in for time's sake this morning. The book of Acts is this sweeping account of the birth of Christianity, and it begins with the ascension of Christ, and then it ends with the Apostle Paul writing letters while under Roman house arrest. And it's a story of a handful of disciples who turn the world upside down with their message of love and forgiveness and salvation through Christ. It's really this epic tale, but it may be the very final words of Acts that leave us with this kind of clue of how to live as followers of Christ in the modern world. And we find that when faith is set free, we get to live an uncaged and unhindered life in Jesus. So before we get into the teaching, I want to just get our minds around this concept. Have you ever felt hindered or held back in some way? Maybe you felt like you had more to give or more to offer. Maybe it was at a project at work, you know, for your job, or maybe it was in a group setting at school, or maybe like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite, if Coach just would have put you in the fourth quarter, you'd have won that state championship. If we think about this in a context of our faith, have you ever felt like there was something more? Or there, maybe you were missing out on something, or as you read through maybe the Gospels in this book of Acts, the miracles and the transformation and the boldness that the early church has, and it thought, man, there's got to be more for my faith. Have you ever felt that way? I know I have. If that sounds like you, I've got good news for you. You're not alone. Not just today, but over the centuries, since Jesus' ascension, this is something that the people of God have been thinking a lot about. In fact, the entire Reformation movement from the 16th century was rooted in this idea that something was missing in our experience of the people of God. They knew that there was more. Have you ever seen a horse running in person? Yeah, right? It's pretty incredible, isn't it? Our neighbors have horses, and sometimes I like to catch a glimpse of them chasing each other. It's so cool. It's something that you just don't see every day, and it looks awesome when horses are running. And when I think of something being hindered or held back, I imagine this thoroughbred racing horse that's just standing behind the starting gate, waiting for it to open. And once that gate opens up, the horse is running, and it's free, and it's beautiful, and that horse is meant to run, right? But the gate is holding it captive. It's holding its movement and its freedom behind the gate. So the gate is the obstacle holding the horse back. Or if you think about a bird in a cage, like in our graphic here this morning, a bird is meant to fly, right? That's why they have wings, except for ostriches and penguins and chickens and but birds that you would keep in a cage, right? They have wings. They were meant to fly. And so when a bird sits in a cage all day, it has to be thinking, oh, there's more out there. There's got to be more than this, right? It has to be thinking about flying if its little bird brain is capable of thinking those thoughts. I really don't know. I'm not a scientist. But you would imagine, right, that it's thinking about flying as it's caged. So for us, we don't have a physical gate or a cage around us, but there's lots of things in this world that can hold us back or keep us captive. And so I would love to go on that extravagant vacation to Italy, but my bank account is holding me back from doing that, right? Or I would love to eat a whole cake for lunch, but I'm held back by my diet. Or I would love to be a professional athlete, but I'm held back by my age and my genetics and my work ethic, right? So I'm not going to be that. So as we begin this series today, the question is, what's holding you back? And we'll ask this again at the end too. So what's holding you back? What's holding us back as a church? What more does God have for us to experience in our faith? And as you roll these questions around in your mind, I'm excited to start this new series today. It's called Faith Set Free. And we're using the book of Acts as our starting point. And we're going to unpack several ways that we're called and released to live lives of faith. And so Oddly enough, I know the very end of Acts is a weird place to start, but that's what we're going to do today. We're going to skip to the very end of Acts. We'll be back in the beginning later on in the series, but if you haven't read it, or if you've read it several times, it'd be a benefit to go back through and really see what God was doing and what he was up to in empowering the church. It was a really cool time in history, and since we're not reading the whole book together, I'm trusting that you guys are going to read it at home this week, right? Say, sure I am, all right? Yeah, but we're going to do a quick overview just in case you don't. So, first of all, there's something very special about the book of Acts. Historically, this book serves as this vital link between the Gospels and the Epistles, right? The Gospels being the account of Jesus and his physical life, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection, and then his ascension, which is where Acts starts. And then the epistles are these letters that are written to different churches by apostles, which makes up most of the New Testament. So Acts is this book that kind of bridges the gap between the Jesus of history and then the Jesus of our faith, of our like the living Jesus today. This is the book that bridges the gap between the two. And it basically explains how Jesus, the messenger, becomes the center of the message. So unlike most history books, Acts is filled with references to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And this story simply wouldn't have been possible without God. He started it. He motivated it and gave it direction. He gave it energy and purpose and a message, and then even gave it protection, right? We're still reading this book today. So Luke doesn't give us this systematic description of God, but he describes what God did through the church. And so that's essentially the book of Acts. And as you go through it, it's important to remember that everything points to Christ and his church. It's the story after story of miraculous things and God's provision and his power and his protection over the church. And it's Peter and John preaching to the Jewish Sanhedrin, and it's all the believers being in one heart and one mind, selling all their possessions and sharing everything with one another. And it's Paul or Saul's conversion to Paul and Peter's escape from prison, and the list can go on and on and on. So the book of Acts is not just a list of attributes to memorize or bullet points to jam into a spreadsheet, but it's telling the story of the birth of Christianity and the beginning of the spread of the gospel. And so when you're going through the book of Acts, there's this one specific word at the very end that brings it all together. And it's the very last word of the book. The word is unhindered, or on your screen, without hindrance. So let's skip to the end. Acts 28, you guys have probably read it four times while I'm talking, but we'll read it together now. It's verses 30 through 31, and I'll be reading the NASB. That's the NIV on the screen. But it says, Paul stayed two full years in his own rented lodging and welcomed all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching things about the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. So what's going on in this passage? We'll talk through this for just a second. Oh, you can go. You can leave it up there, Josh. So verse 30 says, now Paul stayed two full years in his own rented lodging and welcomed all who came to him. So Paul had been sent by Agrippa and Festus to Rome, where he had waited 2 years to be seen by Caesar. So basically, Paul is sitting under house arrest. He's just renting space, which is theoretically paid for by other church members, right? The church was of one heart and one mind, and they've pooled their money and they're helping people out. So the church has probably put Paul up in this place while he's on house arrest, and he's welcomed everyone who has come to him. Verse 31, he's preaching the kingdom of God and teaching things about the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's preaching and teaching just like Jesus would have, right? He's doing what Jesus called him to do. He's obeying the Great Commission. So even though he's stuck, people are still coming and receiving God through Paul. And then in the very end, it says, with all openness, unhindered, or with all boldness and without hindrance. Paul had openness and boldness and confidence, and he did this unhindered, right? As the last word of the book of Acts says. And it's what this unhindered word is what bridges the Gospels to the epistles. And I can imagine Luke writing this this end of the word and really just thinking about how he was going to end this account of Acts. And Paul wasn't just preaching and teaching to those who came to him. He was writing letters to churches as well during this time. So today, we're going to look at three ways that we are set free out of this, just kind of to kick off this series. So the first one is that we are unhindered no matter the circumstance. We are unhindered no matter the circumstance. I think sometimes we forget where Paul was writing from, right, and how his ministry actually went. He was very effective, but he was certainly held back and or hindered in an earthly sense most of the time, right? I almost can't believe that Luke has the audacity to write this about Paul. When I think about Paul's ministry, I think it's very much hindered, right? Everywhere he goes, he's having to convince people that he's not going to kill him, right? Because he was Saul that was persecuting Christians, and then he's always in and out of prison, and he's under house arrest, and there's always something holding Paul back. So he's on house arrest, he's stuck in Rome for 2 years, but Luke says completely unhindered. The cool thing about this gospel that we believe in is that this statement is true. Even though Paul spent so much time in prison and his faith was actually set free. It was free to roam the whole known world and impact so many people, not just by people coming to him, but writing letters to the church. And most of Paul's writings were written over a span of 15 years. And in the year 60 AD, he arrived in Rome and was imprisoned later that year. For the next 2 years, Paul would live under this house arrest. And during this time, he would continue to minister to those, and he would write letters called the prison epistles, which are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And so in these letters, we see a further glimpse of Paul's unhindered message and his constant encouragement to other believers. So let's just listen really quick to these highlights from these books. In Ephesians, he says things like, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Or in Philippians, he says, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss of the surpassing worth of knowledge or of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." This is all from prison. Or in Colossians, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son who loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." God has brought those who are not far or who are far off near through Christ. There is no obstruction or hindrance to the grace of God. Jesus is for everyone and Jesus is for everywhere. That's a hard thing to write when you're locked up, right? When you can't go anywhere, you're gated, you're caged. Or in Philemon, he writes this letter on behalf of a slave named Onesimus to Philemon, and he's asking Philemon to accept and receive Onesimus as a brother instead of as a runaway slave to be punished. He's even contending for others' grace and forgiveness as he's sitting just waiting. So if we look at the variety of writing coming from Paul as he sits under this house arrest, this is not a hindered man with an obstructed faith, right? This doesn't sound like someone who is locked up or who is under restrictions. Luke, the author of Acts, rightly identifies this as he describes Paul's 2 years of life in Rome with those two verses that we read. Unhindered, right? That's the word that he chose. And there are so many ways the unhindered faith, our freedom of faith, impacts our experience as well as we follow Jesus. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the ways that different things have been set free. Today, it's the kingdom of God, but we'll talk about forgiveness and power and serving and all these other things that have been set free through the sacrifice of Jesus. And so that brings us today to the second way that we are set free, which is we are a part of the kingdom of God. We are a part of the kingdom of God. So things changed when Jesus showed up. We know this from the many gospel accounts of his life and his ministry and his miraculous workings amongst the Jewish community. He was different from the Messiah that many of them were looking for. This Messiah didn't come in and overthrow the government or impose war on other nations. He spoke in parables and he was gentle and lowly. He was the son of a simple carpenter. And in spite of all of these things, his kingdom and teachings have turned the world upside down. Think about that for a minute. Every military person in history, right, that isn't alive today, we're no longer living under their reign or their power. But the kingdom of Jesus is still present and alive and being talked about and studied by over a billion people across the world. That's pretty powerful, right? So, as modern day believers under the new covenant of Christ, we're no longer hindered by these rules and these regulations that the Jewish community was living under. Jesus is our high priest, right? And because of him, we can experience not only salvation eternally, but redemption here on earth. Or as John puts it in John 8:36, if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. Not that we're free indeed if we say the right thing or if we do the right thing or have the right amount of money, right? If the Son has set us free, then we are free indeed. So, if we are set free, what are we set free from exactly? Hey, you nailed it. Sin and death, right? Or as Paul says it, the dominion of darkness. In the kingdom of God, we are no longer hindered by darkness. We're no longer slaves to sin. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So we're free to believe that God can and will act on behalf of others. We're free to come to Jesus with anything, free to approach the throne of grace with boldness and confidence. We're free to live as beloved sons and daughters of God, not only loved, but who God delights in, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. Isn't that cool? That God delights in us, not just loves us, but wants to be around us, no matter where we're at in life. We're free to enjoy the lives that God has given us, right? Sometimes that's that, if you think life is not meant to be enjoyed, that's that legalism. That's those rules talking, right? We're free to live life to the fullest. We're free to count everything else as lost compared to the greatness of knowing Christ. The problem is sometimes, through the midst of all the freedom that we are offered, the unfortunate truth is that many of us become disillusioned with our faith and we lose that wonder of God and we lose sight of our first love. And then we start to put on the chains of our former lives. We start to put the chains back on. So in Galatians 4:8-9, I think we should have it on your screen. There's a couple passages here. Yeah, Galatians 4:8-9, it says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? So Paul is confronting these. Obviously, no one wants to return to an enslaved life of sin and death. But the reality is that we do often become disillusioned. We do get our feelings hurt when God doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we want Him to, when we want Him to. Or we can lose our awe and wonder, and we can become hindered by hurt or by unmet expectations, or we can become entrapped in sin, or we can just be thrust into a situation that really was just unfortunate, like an accident or a death. We can become hurt by these things. The beauty of being set free and the glory of being loved is that we're always able to return to Christ. Hebrews 12:3 says, so let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I'm sure none of these scriptures are new to you today. I'm sure you've heard lots of this stuff. But this is real freedom that all these scriptures are pointing to. We're no longer buried under the rules of the law, but we're set free by the grace of God through Jesus. So, That brings us to our third point today. The third way we are set free is we receive the lavish love of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, it might give us the best, most vivid picture of this unhindered kingdom when it describes the way that God lavished his love on us through Jesus. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 10 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." It's God's will and pleasure that we be adopted into his kingdom. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Yeah, praise God, right? Praise God for his generosity, for his love, and his lavish grace. So to lavish something, that's a word we don't use often, right? Unless I'm reading that word, I don't use that in normal language. But to lavish something is a verb, or as a verb, it means to bestow in generous and extravagant quantities. To bestow on something in generous or extravagant quantities. In other words, God held nothing back from us when he shared his son. He lavished his love through Jesus. He gave extravagant gifts when he made a way for all of us to experience salvation and freedom from sin and death. If that's not the unhindered actions of a generous father, then I'm not sure what is. So as we finish up today, I wonder where you might be seeing this unhindered, uncaged faith in work or at work in your own lives. What areas would you add to the list? Maybe the kingdom set free, or forgiveness, or power of serving, or the gospel. What other areas would you add to that list of the ways that our faith are set free? What other ways that free faith working your life? I'm looking forward to the next few weeks as we continue this series together. But before we wrap up, and before we move on, I want to just reiterate something I mentioned earlier. So when we think of being hindered, and we think about this thoroughbred racing horse that's standing in front of the starting gate, waiting for it to open. Once that gate opens up, that horse is running free and beautiful down the track. That racing horse is meant to run, but the gate hinders its movement and its freedom. The gate is the obstacle holding the horse back from what is intended to be. So the questions today to leave you with is, what's holding you back? What obstacles are hindering your faith? Or are you running free this morning? Remember, the beauty of being set free and the glory of being loved is that we are always welcome to return to Christ. Jesus came to unleash our faith. All of the scripture that we read today points to that. We don't have to live in this way that is bound up or hindered or sitting and waiting behind a gate or just being held back. God is calling us this morning to live this free salvation and this free faith that has been turned loose on this earth. So what will you do with that faith this week? Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for this salvation, this faith that you have set free here on earth. And not only have you set it free to roam about, but you've let us be a part of it. God, you've called us to salvation, to redemption, to your grace, and into this life of faith. God, we just ask this morning that you would help us Help us to live lives that are set free, that aren't held back. God, even if we're in the worst of situations, the worst of conditions, that we're not hindered. We believe that your word is true this morning in telling us that. That in all circumstances, our faith is unhindered. And that's because of your power, your Holy Spirit, and your grace. God, help us to know that we are a part of the kingdom. Help us to know that you have adopted us in you, predestined us for sonship in you. It's not only your will, but it's your pleasure. Thank you for that this morning. And God, thank you for lavishing your love upon us. Help us to live in that love and that grace as we go about our lives, that we would be just a representative of that love that you've lavished on us. Help us pour that out to others. We just thank you for the work that you're doing. We thank you for the church and this plan to unleash this faith upon the world. Help us to do our part in coming alongside of you and what you're already doing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The worship team is going to sing a song. Our altars here are always open. If you felt God speaking to you this morning and you just feel like you need to respond, this is a great place to do it. We just ask that you would stand, you would sing with us, and use these next few moments to reflect on what God's been saying to you this morning.